12. Destruction. Charcoal and blood. Sketch. "I have a request," I said to the Nipri when he rose to leave. "My friends, Madding and the others, I need to know what you plan to do with them."
"That isn't something you need to know, Lady Ori."
Date's tone was gently chiding. I set my jaw. "You seem to want me to join you willingly." He fell silent for a moment, contemplating. That was gratifying because my statement had been a gamble. I had no idea why he wanted me, beyond the fact that we were both demons. Perhaps he thought I could eventually develop magic as powerful as his, or perhaps demons had some symbolic value to the New Lights. Whatever the reason, I knew leverage when I saw it. At last, he said,
"My wife believes you can be rehabilitated, made to see reason."
He glanced at my drawing on the floor. "I, however, am beginning to wonder whether you're too dangerous to be worth the effort." I nibbled my bottom lip. "I won't try that again."
"We are both Etempans here, Lady Ori."
"You'll try it if you think it will work, and if there is insufficient disincentive."
He folded his arms, thoughtful.
"I've been trying to figure out what to do with him."
"What?"
"Your Morona friend."
I started. "You mean Shiny. So he hadn't escaped. Damnation."
"Yes, whatever his name is."
For once, Date sounded annoyed. I thought he was a godling too, given his intriguing ability to return from death. But I've had him in the empty for days now, and he's shown no sign of resistance, magical or otherwise. He just keeps dying. The small hairs along my skin prickled. I opened my mouth to say, "That's our god you're torturing, you bastard." But then I stopped. What would Date do if he knew he had the Bright Lord of Order as his prisoner? Would he even believe it? Or would he question Shiny and be shocked to learn, as I had been, that Shiny loved the Night Lord and would disapprove of any action that threatened him? What would these madmen do then?
"Maybe he's like us," I said instead. A demon.
It was hard to say the words.
"No, I did test him. There are distinct properties that can be observed in the blood. Aside from his peculiar ability, he's mortal in every way that I can determine."
He sighed and did not see my start as I realized that was why they'd taken my blood. "The Order has discovered any number of minor magical variants over the centuries. I suppose he's just another of those." Date paused, long enough for the silence to unnerve me further. "This man lived with you in the city, I'm told. I can't kill him, but I think you've guessed the ways in which I can make his brief periods of life unpleasant. You are valuable to me. He is not. Do we understand each other?" I swallowed. "Yes, Lord Date. I understand you perfectly."
"Excellent. I'll have him placed with you later today, then. I should warn you, though, after this much time in the empty, he may require assistance."
I clenched my fists on my knees while he knocked on the door to be let out. But as he did so, something changed. It was just a momentary flicker, so fast that I thought I imagined it. For that instant, Date's body looked wholly different. Wrong. I saw his nearer arm curiously doubled as he rested it on the door sill. Two arms, not one. Two hands gripping the smooth wood. I blinked in surprise and suddenly the image was gone. Then the door opened, and so was Date. I slept. I didn't mean to, but I was exhausted after my effort to use magic. When I opened my still twinging eyes, the light of sunset was thin and fading on my skin. Someone had been in the room during that time, which meant I'd slept hard. I was usually quick to wake at any untoward noise. My visitors had been busy. I found the furniture put back in place and a tray of food on the table. The candles were gone when I checked, replaced by a single small lantern of a design that I found odd, until I realized it held nothing more than a slow-burning moistened wick. No reservoir of oil that I could use for painting. Other items in the room had been removed or replaced too,
ostensibly because they could have been used for their pigment. The food was a bowl of some sort of porridge, as bland and textureless as they could have made it and kept it palatable. And the air smelled of floor cleanser. I felt a moment's grief for my drawing, poor as it had been. I ate and then went to the window, wondering if I would ever escape from this place. I guessed that I had been in prison for 5 days, maybe six. Soon it would be Gebra, the spring equinox. All over the world, white halls would deck themselves in festive ribbons and inkanda, lanterns given a special fuel to make their flame burn white instead of red or gold. The halls would throw open their doors to all comers, celebrating the approach of summer's long days. And even now, with so many doubting their faith, those halls would be full. Yet at the same time, in every city, there would be ceremonies dedicated to the Night Lord too, and to the Lady. That was something new and still strange to me. An hour passed before the door of my cell opened again. Three men entered, carrying something heavy. Two somethings, I realized, as they grunted and jostled the table and chairs out of the way. The first object they put down squeaked faintly, and I realized it was another cot, like the one I slept on. The second object they put down was shiny, dumped on the cot. He groaned once and then lay still.
"A present from the Nightbree," said one of the men, and the other laughed.
They left, and I hurried to Shiny's side.